I'm coming up on 2 years, the 7th of next month. So, I mean, I'm right in that gray area. There's a reason they give out that 18-month chip, you know, because we get impatient on that second one. They don't bridge the gap between 2 and 3, do they? They only bridge the gap between 1 and 2. You know, it's an important one for me. I am in Minnesota.
That was a few words from today's guest, Casey Jordan from F Around and Recover. So if you've been following at all, Casey, well, he's coming off grit. There's been a lot of worry about what's going on with him. For myself included, Casey and I became quite close friends over these past months. As you know, we're both content creators, you know, kind of grinding it out, trying to make a difference and help trying to make a living. So there's been a lot of speculation about what's happened with Casey. So when he did reach out to me, I was more than happy to do a quick little episode here about, you know, kind of what's going on in his life, where he's at, where he's going, and just to make sure he's okay. And, you know, I feel much better knowing that he is. Today's title sponsor is, once again, the Yatra Treatment Center. They're located here in Krabi, Thailand, where I reside. Guys, for any of you that have not been following along, my healing journey started at the Yatra Center back in December. And what they did for me was second to none. It was absolutely amazing. They are a trauma center. They treat trauma exclusively, and they are really, really good at it. So check them out, guys. You can learn more about them, including some of the episodes that Mike Miller, the head clinician, has come on the Ashes Tossing podcast with at hoapodcast.com/trauma. And also, of course, there's some links to his website where you'll find that you don't have to make it all the way to Thailand to take advantage of some of their services. They do offer sort of a la carte online services as well. So check them out, and I hope you enjoy this quick episode.
Hello, everybody, watchers, listeners, supporters of all kinds. Welcome to another episode of the Ashes to Awesome podcast. I'm your host, Chuck LaFlange, sitting in Krabi, Thailand. Joining me in virtual studio from halfway around the world in Minnesota, I guess.
More Minnesota, baby. More Minnesota.
Dear friend of mine and a guest you might be familiar with, Casey Jordan from F Around and Recover. How are you doing today, Casey?
Dude, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's good to see that you're in good shape and healthy and all the things, bro. There's been some concerns about what's going on with you in your life. And you know, you got a lot of love, a lot of people that love you in the world, maybe more than you even realize. And, you know,
yeah, blessed and highly favored, man. That's what I always tell people. Blessed and highly favored.
Yeah. So I want to stay away from it as we're talking pre-record, and, you know, we're not trying to hide anything. I kind of want to stay away from some of the, I'll say drama. I'll use the word drama. That got you to the place where you were at. But I think, you know, given we don't have a lot of time for this recording, I think it's important that we talk about where you are today. We talk about what got you away from kind of the turbulent situation you were in, and you know, how you know, and maybe what some of your future plans are. And let's talk about your sobriety too, bro. I think that's important as well.
That's right? A good one, man. I'm coming up on 2 years, the 7th of next month. So, I mean,
congratulations, bro.
I'm right in that gray area. There's a reason they give out that 18-month chip, you know, because we get impatient on that second one. They don't bridge the gap between 2 and 3, do they? They only bridge the gap between 1 and 2.
Yeah, right. So,
you know,
yeah.
It's an important one for me. I am in Minnesota. My phone got stolen in Las Vegas while I was doing outreach work. It was two-factor authentication, which means you have to have access to your email and the cell phone number to recover anything. I didn't have another recovery phone number or email. But because I travel and because I'd been places, I thought it was a good idea after the initial fraud. I thought I could go somewhere that I had bought something. I went to an AT&T store where I had purchased something. The guy was in AA himself. We had a great discussion. I was like, I can go back there. I'm safe. It'll fix everything. Yeah. Weird World did not have cell phone. It shut off my cards. It was nothing other than phone got stolen. I said it was stolen. That shuts my stuff down because I have an Apple wallet. So it was safety.
Okay.
It was safety stuff. It wasn't anything crazy. It's the way the world works.
I
got lucky. Some girl was walking out of a tattoo shop and saw me walking down the street, and she told her friend I was the love of her life. I don't know what it meant at the time. Now we have matching tattoos, and I'm living in Minnesota. And her grandma bought me a tractor within 6 days of knowing me, and her grandma gave my dumbass a paintbrush and a gallon of paint yesterday and said, paint the front of the house just to see if I would do it. Honestly, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, 5 hours later, a blister on this finger. How I got a blister on this finger painting, I don't know. But, no, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know that, man. You know I'm doing all right.
I do. I got to tell you, man, it's a huge sense of relief to hear and see you, you know, because it's behind the scenes, you know, we're all talking, you know, like what's going on with Casey, Chantal and I, Jared and I, you know, like all these other people in your recovery content life, right, are all like, we're concerned about you, right? So, I got to tell you, a big sense of relief. And I'm sure when they see this, they're gonna share that same sense with me, so.
It's like, I have a sense of relief myself. I mean, I'm in a position I've never been in, man. I've had these strangers show up for me. I got to be back at the farm in an hour and a half. Hopefully the heifers have started calving. I'm on a farm, man. I'm right where I belong. I know that. I love the farm life. I've been stacking wood, splitting wood.
Yeah.
The people here are different, man. Actually, my aunt called me and she was like, you know, Minnesota's the most peaceful place on earth. I said, I know, but I just moved there.
Give me a minute.
Yeah, give me a second. Yeah, my bad. I'll behave on this one. I just got to laugh, man. Because, like, all the good I've done, I'm not the sum of all the bad things I've ever done, man. And no, I've really done nothing that – I've done nothing bad. I just want to help, man. And I just want to love people where they're at. And it led to some things that made me look crazy and deranged. And I may have gave everything I had away three times over on that trip. But, dude, the joy I get out of – dude, I was at the food pantry the other day. I ain't got no money still. I'm working for cash for grandma, whatever. I don't give a shit. I'll tell the truth. I was at the food pantry the other day, and I noticed the guy had a pair of Jordans on that didn't have no laces, and they were bad. Yeah. They were worn out, man. Like, they look like I felt when I started. I saw a video of me bad the other day, and then I saw that guy, and I was like, man, I got a nice pair of Nikes in the trunk. And he was like, no way. And I was like, yeah. Dude, we're at the same place in life. He's getting food there. I'm getting food there. He got better stuff than I got because he had more kids than me. But he got a pair of shoes that I put a couple hundred miles on, if you know what I mean. Because I'm a stepper, dude. I'm a walker. That's my thing. I like to walk when I'm doing the outreach stuff. Because it can take me places my car can't.
That's true. That's true.
And my car's going to get stolen some of the places I go, so I best just walk. But
there is that.
There is always that. People don't. Yeah, they're like, why do you walk so much? Man, I got a nice car I stay in. You think I want to lose that thing? man. I'm doing good. Damn, I ain't got a whole lot to say other than, like, not having a cell phone for almost 10 days, not having internet access for almost 3 weeks. Dude, my life got so good. I immersed myself in where I'm at all the time, and like the whole one day at a time thing, the whole concept of like, I can't get away from me. Everybody thought I was on the run. Dude, I was running to people. I had people all across the country that were trying to see me. And hey, when I disappeared, this is funny. We joke about the stolen car stuff. Some dude in LA tried to buy my car cash, leave me with no car, and then expect me to make the payment. Now, Bubby, what would you do if that happened to you in LA? Would you shut your stuff off and take off?
I don't know.
But the funny thing is, I took off and went to Skid Row. I left that situation. And guess what? I had the best night of my life. I went to Skid Row, and I got a gun pulled on me. And I didn't get my phone stolen then. Dude, what an experience. I went to Skid Row the first time in the middle of the night when it was raining. And I was like, this shit ain't that bad. Y'all some sissies. Dude, I went there when it was nice outside. It's a different world.
Yeah, right. People aren't hiding in their tents and whatever, right? Like, it's so
dude, the amount of people, the open air drug market, the trash, the needles, the broken glass, the schizophrenic people, the deranged, dude, there's a mental health crisis like no other out there. It's not, I don't even know if it's a drug addiction thing now. After being in the streets, those people don't have an addiction problem. They're not like me. I have a problem where I try to slow my brain down just a little bit because it makes me feel better. Those people need way more help than I could ever give them. And it's a lack of care from the system, dude. That's all it is. They don't make money off helping those people. Why would they do it? But those people... Dude, I could give them cigarettes and they clean up a whole block.
I remember you telling me you did that once, right? So
I could give somebody hot food and they'll clean up a whole block. I can give somebody a pair of shoes and they'll clean up a whole block. You do that with 5,000 homeless people, you know what you got?
Clean city, right?
Got a clean city, man, in one day. And it's like, that's all it takes. That's all you got. Yeah, but the disconnect between the people that are supposed to help and the people that need help, it's me. It's people like me and you and like
Jared and Mom and Chantel.
Yeah, Chantel. All of them. Everybody. Like, it's it's not an addiction thing anymore, man. It's a mental health crisis, is what it is.
Yeah. Well, and it, you know, something I've said over the years multiple times is that it's not, mental health and addiction are the same thing. I mean, many people have said that. Yes. I firmly believe that in the near future, we're just going to stop calling them two different things.
Dude, they say because, dual diagnosis. It's the same thing. It's
addiction is one of mental health problems. Right? It's one of the mental health disorders, right? So,
I've had a couple different experiences with people that have relapsed, and I had a sponsee that relapsed on alcohol and had to detox from alcohol. But in the detox for alcohol, they prescribed him 7 different mental health meds that he was supposed to take at the same time when he woke up in the morning. What the hell does that do to someone? What good is that, dude? If you don't remove everything from the get-go, but if it wasn't for the initial clean and sober stretch, wouldn't be here. We're not.
And I think, and personally, I don't interject on that one. Personally, I think most doctors are in this for the right reasons. I mean, it's very different between Canada and the U.S. in that we don't have incentive for doctors at all to do shady things, right?
Yeah, you know? That's our disconnect between me and you.
Yeah, right. So I tend to just, my advice is do what the physician tells you, right? And I think even in the U.S., most are in it for the right reasons. They're not trying to hurt people, the more research I did, the more traveling I did, the more
sponsees I had. Not here, man. It's almost, but
is that a focus? You know, it's easy to focus on what's in front of you. And when you're surrounding yourself and people with bad stories, you tend to, becomes the reality
I did 30,000 miles in almost 2 months. I saw it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then the places that like I saw success is where they don't do it like that. Like when I got pulled over in Kansas and got that traffic warning, I brought up to the guy the way things work where I'm at, where I'm from, what I've seen, and where I'd seen elsewhere. And what they had done was they had adopted the concept that I was chasing. They put a treatment center, they put a house attached to their drug court in their hometown. Guess what happened? People started getting better at home. People started taking care of their homies, man. That's what it takes, dude, is seeing people you know that have just been, like when I see somebody that I know was a lost cause and I see them doing good, that's when I know. That's when the hope, I got hope again. I mean, I can lose my hope over the simplest stuff. You know that, like we talked about how I have to have a buffer in life. It's not just to keep me on track, man. I need somebody to keep me smiling. I need no one can hurt me like me, but other people can make me happier than I ever can do it myself. You know that.
Yeah. I get that. Absolutely, I do. So, speaking of sobriety, how's that going for you? I mean, you've had some low points, you've had some high points, and both of those can be triggers, right? You know, I know, man. For myself, you know, my high points are my biggest triggers.
You highlight that, but, man. Yeah, both. Know, right. Either way can trigger us.
Life's a trigger. Absolutely it is, right? So how's that going for you?
Dude, they told me when I was almost to 1 year that it would take twice the work to make it to 2. And I was like, y'all are full of shit. That's not how it works. Yeah. It's going to get easier. I've done more footwork to stay sober in the last, since I lost my phone, there's been more footwork to stay on this side than ever before.
Have
you ever seen the Robin Williams interview where he goes to Alaska and he thinks that he can drink again because he's in heaven on earth? Like everything's good.
Yes. Yeah.
I can have a sip and then you're on the edge of the world. You can't jump off. It's the same thing. I had that feeling when I woke up the first morning here, because we drove to Mora through a snowstorm and I woke up and we had like 12 inches of snow. I was like, dude, I can have a little bit to drink. Like, you know, like I don't even, it was in the back of my head because that's what people do here. They drink a few beers every day. I mean, it's, everyone's not an alcoholic. It's just the way of life. And it's the most peaceful place on earth. Like I told you. But I have surrounded, and I had access to none of my people, but I had surrounded myself with enough recovery and I was open and honest with enough people from the jump that, dude, it ain't a problem. I can't drink. I know I can't. They have 0.0 beer that I drink, and people freak out when they know that I drink 0.0 beer. I'm a beer drinker. I love the taste of beer. I always have. My name's Two-Case. My nickname's Two-Case. I can't drink. I can't drug. I don't look at a calendar ever. I know that what does this say? The 7th of next month will be 2 years for me. Yeah. 2 years off the sauce, 2 years off the things that kill me. And it took me 21 and a half months for me to choose me.
Yeah.
If you understand what I mean. It took 21 months for me to finally, I had people telling me my environment was my birdcage and that's why I wasn't getting no better. And I was like, y'all are full of shit. These people love me. They want good for me. And I'm not talking to you, you know that, all positive stuff. But my life really started to get better when I left, man. When I flew the coop and went on that trip by myself. Because me and Dave were supposed to do it, man. And the van was broke down when I took off.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And then I was like, you know,
life has a way of just kind of dealing you different cards, I guess, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, dude. And I've learned that it is what it is all the time. Yeah. 24/7. I can't change anything but me ever, no matter what. Yeah. I can't influence. If I start trying to influence people and get back to manipulating, dude, I might as well be banging dope, and I ain't never done that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Right.
If I'm swindling, you know, people were worried about where the money was going.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had a bunch of donations initially on that trip.
Yeah.
And I don't even think I collected what I was supposed to. Like, the churches were getting stuff together before I left, and I left anyways. I was coming back, I thought. I gave everything away once. I gave away everything twice. I gave away everything three times. And all three times was on money. It was, you know, the world doesn't operate on anything else other than money. Everything makes money move.
Yeah.
The thousands of dollars that I gave away, I spent money on myself. I didn't. Dude, I don't have, like, I bought one keychain on that trip. I traveled like 30 something states and I got one keychain. Yeah, like, I wasn't blowing money. People were worried that I was just out running, drinking and using. Dude, I haven't fallen off. I'm still riding that wagon. It might be on fire occasionally.
But hey, you know what? If your wagon isn't on fire occasionally, then, you know, whatever.
What's
you got a life I don't have. That's for most certain, right? You know, so
Dude. Like, if it's not for those low points, the high points just I don't even look, like, I tell people, they're like, are you happy? Hell no, I don't want to be happy ever, because every time I've ever been happy, it's spun around and bite me in the ass. When I'm peaceful, it's different.
Yeah.
But
happiness isn't a destination anyway, right? It's
a
journey,
it's temporary relief for a long term issue.
Yeah.
I gotta watch how I talk. I forgot. They didn't understand the way I spoke when I got here. They're like, you from Alabama or what? I was like, all right, hold on.
Listen, I just wanted to do a quick catch up with you. We'll sit down. We'll do a longer episode as well. Right.
And get you on some black ash too. Right? And
most certainly, man. We're going to do a new type of games night this week.
Dude, I love playing games. Yeah. You know that.
I'll throw you in.
Yeah, play some hide and
seek. You know where they tell them? No, we're not playing hide and seek. No. Fuck's sakes, Casey. Okay. Do you know where the game where you got to try not to laugh at the stupid jokes and the horrible jokes?
Oh, you guys are fucked.
Yeah, that's what we're going to try that. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
In a tournament style for whoever shows up kind of thing. So
it's King of the Castle. Yeah. King of the Castle. Let me get this one out real quick.
Yeah. All right, man. So what you got for some gratitudes?
Oh, dude, Minnesota, for real. Dude, they call it Minnesota nice is what they call it. It can also mean fuck you, but passive aggressive sometimes. I don't know. Minnesota passive, that's what I call it. I got here. The girl that let me drive her here, Weed and Boys, dude. People's like, you just run off. Dude, Weed and Boys. Like, she is me.
Yeah.
Like, the female version of me. I'm staying with her. Her grandma owns this farm I'm staying on.
Yeah.
Dude, number one on the list is grandma right now. Some woman that I've known for seven days.
A tractor, you know, so I would say, that qualifies as a gratitude. Yeah.
The first time we were splitting wood, her tractor started making weird noise, and I was like, grandma, something bad's going to happen. I know that noise ain't good. And she drove it back to the barn. The next day, She's like, rear end's out of it. How'd you know something was wrong? I was like, it didn't sound good. That's how I knew. And then she's like, what color tractor do you want? And I was like, a red one. Obviously, my name's Casey. Case, yeah, you know. Yeah. I was picking rocks the next day when she came in with the tractor on the trailer. And she hollered out the window. She said, hey, I bought you a tractor. I was like, oh, hell yeah, Grandma. I can't wait. Dude, I ran to the house as fast as I could. I was like, I want to see this thing. And then the next day I asked her, I said, Grandma, are we renting this tractor or what? And she said, I bought it for you, dumbass. I asked you what color you wanted. And I was like, dude, am I in heaven on earth? Is that what this place is? Like, I've never, like, all the Christmases combined, get out of here. Nothing. Yeah. Don't touch what that woman just did for me. Like, it takes a week to switch the loader over, but that just gives me time to play with the animals on my feet. It's, dude, gratitude list just keeps going. It's calving season. We have two heifers out back that's about to pop. And guess who gets to be there and help? And guess who gets to, like, there's a 68-year-old woman that was doing all this stuff on her own. Guess who's here now?
Nice, nice. Okay. What else you got on the list?
My dad, man. For real. That's something that I did not expect to be able to say. My father. Showed up for me, man. He wasn't really present for the trip. He wasn't really present when I needed him when I was back home. But man, the last week or so, the last 2 weeks, my dad has shown up. Number yeah, dude, I'm proud of my last name. That's something that I never thought I'd be able to say. I'm very proud of my last name, man. It's something. Nice. I thought my whole life it was going to drag me down or something, or be associated with things I didn't want to be associated with. I wanted to change it to the other side, I thought, man. But the whole trip, I was chasing my last name. You know that I ended up in South Jordan, Utah. And I named my daughter after my grandma, Ann Jordan, and now I'm on the Ann River. So it kind of, yeah, dude, and I'm not getting to see my children. That's one thing. We'll call that, I don't know, that's not a negative thing. It's consequences of my own actions with the stolen cell phone or whatever. It made me look crazy. I understand. Dude, cell phone got stolen. Two-factor authentication. Casey's Amish for 14 days, 2 weeks, 3 days. I mean, like, did you want me to send
you a
letter?
Put that on the list of challenges to be overcome, right? How about
dude,
we do
that's
that?
It, man. Yeah. We survive and we thrive. Yeah. I did the bottom of the barrel. Like, this is existence for so long that, like, I got the energy to do things that I wasn't capable of doing.
Well, myself, I think that my biggest, most obvious gratitude right now is that you're safe and that you're good. And I'm genuinely fucking happy to see that.
Really stop am. It. Don't you get me crying because I'll sob.
I am. I'm just, we worry about each other, right? So I'm happy that you're doing
I had the hardest time not being able to get a hold. You can ask Jared, dude, because I talked to Jared like 2 weeks before I talked to you, dude. And all I wanted to do was make sure you were good. And I was like, dude, I can't even send my homie money, all my stuff. And then he's like, his stuff shut down too. I was like, perfect timing, dude. When I get it figured out. Because, dude, you took care of me, dude. You know, the videos, the fucking, the stupid calls, the whole trip. I'd call you when I needed you, man. And you showed up, dude. And you're clear across the world, brother. Mm-hmm. And I can't get across the Bering Strait to get there.
No, you can't. Fuck it,
I'm not
straight.
Allowed on a boat, damn it.
And also, I am very, very grateful to every single person who continues to like, comment, share, watch, talk about all the things that you guys are doing. Because every time you do these things, you're getting me a little bit closer to living my best life. My best life is to make a humble living, spreading the message. The message is this. If you're in active addiction right now, today could be the day. Today could be the day that you start a lifelong journey. Reach out to a friend. Reach out to a family member. Call into detox. Go to a meeting. Pray. Go to church. I don't care. Do whatever it is you got to do to get that journey started, because it is so much better than the alternative. If you have a loved one who's suffering an addiction right now, you're just taking the time to listen to our short conversation here. Just take one more minute out of your day and text that person. Let them know they're loved. Use the words.
You are loved.
That little glimmer of hope just might be the thing that brings them back. Boom. Good. Nice short one.